This episode of The Deep Dive is brought to you by Wadadley Solar LLC, making sure your solar investment actually pays you back.
I want you to picture two very different scenes for a moment. Scene one, you're on a huge commercial rooftop.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it's a warehouse in New Jersey, maybe a logistics hub out in California. It's hot, it's noisy, and you see crews of workers up there.
Mm-hmm.
And they are tearing down hundreds, maybe even thousands, of solar panels.
And, you know, the first thing you'd assume seeing that is, oh, they must be broken.
Right. Or they're ancient. But here's the thing, and this is the paradox we're really wrestling with today. These panels, they aren't broken at all. In fact, if you look at the data, they probably have 15, maybe 20 years of life left in them.
Guaranteed life, yeah.
But they're being ripped out. And in a lot of cases, they're just destined for a shredder or landfill.
It's a massive, massive efficiency gap. We talk so much about sustainability, but then we're discarding energy infrastructure that's barely halfway through its life cycle.
Exactly. Okay, now, cut the scene to, we're thousands of miles away. We're in Ghana. We're in a rural community, maybe standing outside a district hospital. The heat is the same, but the problem is the complete opposite. The need for electricity here is, it's desperate. They need exactly the kind of power those New Jersey panels were producing.
But they can't get it. And the reason is, well, it's simple economics. Building a brand new solar array from scratch, you know, importing all that tier one equipment from China or Europe, it's just too expensive.
So you have this abundant supply in one place being treated like actual trash.
Yeah.
And then you have this acute demand in another place that can't be met because of cost. It feels like a glitch in the matrix.
It is the classic paradox of modern resource management. And that is exactly what we are unpacking in this deep dive. We're looking at a concept called Second Life Solar.
Yeah.
It's this idea of moving from a model of decommissioning as waste to decommissioning as redeployment.
And we aren't just talking theory today. We are going to explore this whole thing through the lens of one specific expert, a guy named Alexis Lewis, and his company, Wadadley Solar.
And what makes his approach so important to this conversation is that he's not suggesting we just ship our junk overseas. This isn't about dumping. It's about rigorous engineering. It's about bridging that gap between U.S. waste and African energy access with a very technical safety-first mindset.
So let's start with that waste, because I think most people, myself included, assume if a solar panel is coming off a roof, there must be something wrong with it. From what I'm reading for the U.S. commercial market, that's rarely the case. Is that right?
That's correct. The situation, especially in the East Coast, is driven by factors that have nothing to do with the silicon inside the panel. We're seeing commercial systems removed long, long before they actually reach the end of life.
So why? I mean, if it ain't broke, why fix it? Or I guess, why scrap it?
Well, a lot of the time, the solar system is basically the victim of the building underneath it. The most common reason is just roof replacements.
Oh, okay.
Think about a huge distribution center. It has a TPO or a membrane roof. Those roofs last maybe, 15 or 20 years? Solar panels last 30.
Ah, I see the math problem right there.
Exactly. If the roof starts leaking, the whole solar array has to come down to fix it. And this is where the spreadsheet logic kicks in. The landlord looks at the labor cost to carefully remove and store and then reinstall the old system.
Right.
Then they look at the cost of just buying a brand new, more efficient system, maybe with a new tax credit.
And the spreadsheet says, dump the old ones.
Precisely. The labor cost makes that old system a liability, even if the hardware is basically perfect. So that's one scenario. Then you have what's called repowering.
What's that?
That's where a company just decides to upgrade to newer tech, to squeeze more efficiency out of the same roof space. I mean, solar tech moves fast. A panel from 2015 is way less efficient than one from 2025.
So it's like trading in your iPhone every year, but on an industrial scale.
It's a perfect analogy. And finally, you have EPC shutdowns. That's engineering, procurement, and construction companies that wrap up projects or change their specs midstream. The result is just this wave of decommissioned assets.
And we're not just talking panels, right?
Oh, no. We're talking racking, wiring, the balance of system components. We call it BOS, and even some of the inverters are still good.
And the sources say these things have 15 to 20 years of useful production left. I mean, that is a lifetime. My car is 10 years old, and I still think of it as newish.
It's a significant amount of energy generation potential just being left on the table. But here's the real flaw in the current industry model. Mm-hmm. There's just no secondary deployment pathway.
Right. It's just a dead end.
Currently, the industry treats removal as the end of the line. The options are, well, recycling, which sounds good, but for solar, it's actually really energy intensive and often just results in shredded glass and low value metal.
So we're spending energy to destroy something that generates energy.
Or, sadly, simply dumping it in a landfill because it's the cheapest option. Either way, you're treating a working power plant like garbage.
Which is just a staggering missed opportunity. So, okay, keep that image of the pile of perfectly good panels in your mind. Now let's travel to where Alexis Lewis was in 2025. He took this trip to Ghana that seems to have been a real turning point for this whole vision.
Yeah, this trip was crucial. Alexis wasn't just there as a tourist. He was speaking on a national radio program, meeting with key players in the incoming government. And one theme just kept coming up over and over.
What was the specific need? Because I'm sure everyone just says, we need more power.
It was more nuanced than that. They identified a very specific gap in the market, something they call the missing middle.
The missing middle. I like that. What does that cover?
It refers to mid-sized commercial systems.
Yes.
So we're talking about power needs ranging from around 30 kilowatts up to maybe 2 megawatts.
Okay, let's visualize that. 30 kilowatt is bigger than a house.
Yeah.
But 2NW, that's not a giant utility plant either.
Precisely. Oh. This is the sweet spot for community infrastructure. We're talking about farms that need to run irrigation pumps, clinics that need to keep vaccines cold, schools, small manufacturing clusters, water pumping stations.
The backbone of a local economy, basically. The stuff that makes a town actually function.
Yes. And right now, this whole sector is critically underserved because of CapEx capital expenditure, the upfront cost. The demand is 100% real. These businesses and clinics are desperate for reliable power. But the price tag for brand new tier one equipment is just too high. It kills the project.
Because if you're a rural clinic, you might have the budget to pay a monthly electricity bill, but you don't have, say, $50,000 sitting in the bank to buy a solar array outright.
Exactly. So they're stuck. Often they're relying on diesel generators, which are, you know, expensive to fuel and terrible for the air, or they just go without reliable power.
So you have the U.S. market pulling down perfectly good panels because they're too old for a new roof.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the Ghanaian market unable to build power plants because new panels are too expensive.
And that was the aha moment for Alexis Lewis. Standing there in Ghana, seeing this specific demand for that 30 kilowatt to 2 MW range, the connection just became totally obvious. You take the decommissioned U.S. assets, these stranded assets, and you repurpose them specifically for this missing middle in Africa and South America.
But, and this is a big but we have to address right now, this sounds a little bit like the plot of a movie where the rich country sends its trash to the poor country.
Yeah.
How is this any different from just dumping our e-waste on Ghana?
That is the single most important distinction Alexis makes in his work. This is not dumping. And interestingly, he emphasizes that it's not even recycling in the traditional sense. He calls it real engineering.
Okay, let's unpack that. What does real engineering look like here? Because I'm guessing you don't just, you know, bubble wrap a panel in New Jersey and plug it in Accra and hope for the best.
Not even close. This is where Alexis's deep technical background becomes so vital. To make this work, there is a rigorous checklist. You can't repurpose old solar unless you know exactly how to test it and certify it.
Okay, so what's on the list? How do you certify a used panel?
We interrupt this podcast with a quick reminder. Solar systems that aren't inspected don't perform as designed. Annual inspections protect output, safety, and payback. What Dudley Solar LLC, serving the U.S., Antigua, Guyana.
First, IV curve testing. This checks the current versus the voltage performance of the module.
Okay, break that down for us non-engineers.
Think of it like a stress test for a heart. A panel might produce voltage when you test it, but if the current drops off a cliff under load, it's useless. 5E curve tracing reveals if there's internal damage you can't see with the naked eye. It makes sure the panel is actually generating the power it claims to.
Got it. So it's a deep diagnostic.
Then they do flash verification. They blast the panel with a calibrated light source to confirm its power output under standard conditions. If a panel was rated 300 watts new, maybe it's 280 watts now. You have to know that exact number to engineer the new system safely.
Right. You can't just guess.
No, absolutely not. They also perform insulation resistance checks to make sure the safety integrity of the panel is intact. Mm. You know, no leakage currents that could cause shocks or worse, fires.
That seems incredibly important if you're putting these on a school or a clinic.
It is absolutely non-negotiable. And here is a key piece of the puzzle that I found fascinating. They often combine these older panels with new inverters and new balance of system components.
Oh, that's smart. So the brain of this system, the inverter, is brand new.
Yes. The inverter is the complex part, the electronics that talk to the grid. By buying that new, you get modern monitoring, you get grid compliance, you get a warranty on the most sensitive component. But you use the old panels, the muscle, to generate the raw power.
It's a hybrid approach. It lets you have a modern, reliable interface with the grid or the building, while using the lower-cost Second Life glass to do the heavy lifting.
Exactly. And, you know, reconfiguring the racking for ground mounts or canopies is also a big part of the engineering challenge. You might take panels that were flat on a warehouse roof and mount them on a canopy over a marketplace in Ghana to provide shade and power.
But the engineering isn't just hardware, is it? You can't just drop off a shipping container of tested panels and, you know, walk away.
No, and Alexis is very clear about this. Implementation requires local workforce training.
That makes a lot of sense.
You need a team on the ground who can handle long-term O&M operations and maintenance. This creates a really circular energy model. It creates jobs in Ghana maintaining these systems, and it ensures the systems actually last.
And I imagine this hybrid model, old panels, new inverters, local labor, that brings the price down enough to finally conquer that CapEx barrier we talked about.
It does. By using depreciated assets from the U.S., which are often acquired for, you know, pennies on the dollar compared to new, the economics finally make sense for both the investors and the communities receiving the power. It turns a prohibitive cost into a manageable investment.
It really is a win-win. But I want to pivot a bit here. We've talked about the panels, the testing, the Ghana trip. But I want to talk about the who, because a lot of people have probably had this idea, but Alexis Lewis seems to be the one actually, you know, building the bridge.
Right. And to understand why he is the one to do it, you really have to look at his background. He was born in Antigua, and his parentage is like, well, it's very telling.
How so?
His father, Mickey, was an electrical engineer. His mother, Aldine, was an educator.
Okay, I can see where this is going.
It's the perfect blend of influences,
yeah.
Right? The technical precision of an engineer combined with the communicative developmental focus of an educator. And that is exactly what Wadadley Solar is trying to do. Engineer a solution and educate a workforce.
And he's not new to this industry, right?
Mm.
He's been in the solar trenches for a while.
Oh, yeah. Over 13 years in commercial and portfolio solar, he's worked in EPC environments, that's the construction side, and in owner-operator environments. So he's seen the industry from both sides of the fence.
And judging by the source material, he had some pretty strong critiques of how that industry operates.
He really does. Alexis argues there are essentially two ways to build solar. Option one, build fast and just hope the quality holds up.
Which I'm guessing is the standard move fast and break things model.
Unfortunately, yes. That's what most developers do. They're racing to close a deal, to hit a quarterly target, get the tax equity sorted. But Alexis points out that even if you deliver on schedule, if you build that way, you are just struggling with installation quality.
And what's the result of all that speed?
It leads to what he calls operational headaches.
I love that term. It sounds like a literal migraine for a building manager.
It is. You get costly rework, delayed commissioning, performance under delivery. He says these projects become financial experiments rather than infrastructure.
Wow, that is a cutting line. Solar assets should perform like infrastructure, not just financial experiments.
It really highlights his philosophy. He believes in option two, control construction risk before it becomes a liability. He views solar not just as a way to get a tax credit, but as long-term infrastructure that has to work for decades.
And that whole philosophy is what makes him so qualified to certify these Second Life panels.
Exactly. If you are going to take a used panel and put it on a rural clinic in Ghana, you need to be absolutely certain it works. You need someone who is just obsessed with quality assurance.
Someone who uses infrared inspections and data analysis for fun.
Precisely. I mean, Alexis's day job involves diagnosing failures using DAS, infrared, IV curve tracing, and managing these complex multi-OEM environments. He works with SolarEdge, SMA, Enphase, SolarC, EG4. He knows these systems inside and out.
So he's basically the guy you call when you want to know if a system was actually built to standard or if the contractors just cut corners to finish on a Friday afternoon.
He helps owner-operators de-risk their projects. He enforces standards in real time. And that skill set is directly transferable to the Second Life market. You can't repurpose old solar unless you have that level of technical scrutiny. It bridges the trust gap.
That's the key word right there, trust. Because if I'm a hospital administrator in Ghana, I need to know this isn't just American junk. And having someone with Alexis's background, someone who treats solar, like critical infrastructure, stamping their approval on it makes all the difference.
It totally transforms the commodity. It changes it from used equipment to certified engineered assets.
So let's zoom out and look at the big picture here. What is the ultimate vision for Wadadley Solar? Is he just trying to build a company or is it something bigger?
The vision is to build a scalable bridge. On one side, you have the East Coast of the U.S. generating this massive supply of high-quality decommissioned material. On the other, you have the global South Africa, South America, with a massive unmet demand for distributed energy.
And right now, there's no one really connecting them at scale.
Exactly. Wadadley Solar is exploring this pathway seriously. The trip to Ghana validated the whole concept. The supply is there, the demand is there. But they need partners.
Right. The notes mentioned Alexis is actively looking for people. Exactly.
He's looking to connect with people in decommissioning, the folks actually taking the panels down. He needs partners in O&M to help train the local teams. He needs people in international development and, of course, impact investing.
Because to make this a standard secondary deployment pathway, it can't just be one guy. It needs an entire ecosystem.
It needs a logistics chain. It needs policy support. It needs investors who see the real value in serving that missing middle.
You know, what I love about this deep dive is how it really challenges the definition of a word we use every single day, waste.
That is the provocative thought here, isn't it? What is waste?
We look at a solar panel that's been on a roof for 10 years and we say, it's old, throw it out. But to a farmer in Ghana who's running a diesel generator that costs a fortune, or a clinic that faces blackouts during a surgery, that solar panel isn't waste.
It's a miracle. It is a stranded asset. It's value that's being locked away because we lack the imagination or the engineering process to unlock it.
So if a solar panel has 15 years of life left in it, is it trash? Or is it just waiting for a little engineering creativity to change a life?
I think Alexis Lewis has made a pretty compelling case for the latter.
Yeah.
The resources we need are already here. They're just sitting on the wrong roofs.
That is a fantastic way to put it. They're just sitting on the wrong roofs.
It's a fascinating look at how we can be smarter with the resources we already have. Thank you for walking us through the technical side of things today.
My pleasure. It is a brilliant example of connecting the dots.
And thank you to our listener for joining us on this deep dive. If this sparks some ideas for you, or if you're in the industry and think, hey, I have a warehouse full of panels, maybe it's time to reach out. We'll catch you on the next one.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We hope you found this podcast useful. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to reach out to us at info@alternativesolutions.az. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to tune in for future episodes.